Now, those of you who have studied your scripture diligently, especially in Genesis, will realize that when it came to the creation of humanity, God, speaking in the plural, said, "Let us create mankind in our own image." Now, scholars say, well, that was the royal we. Kings and queens don't speak in the personal. They speak as, we think this should be done, and we think that should be done. You know, mothers are a lot like that. We need to go do this, when they're really saying, do it. So some scholars say that's what the plural is all about. Some say it's the heavenly host. But particularly since this is Trinity Sunday, we can think of this God of ours as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that all existed before the world and anything material was made, before we were even spoken forth as spiritual beings ourselves. The question for us today, the scripture says we are created in the image of God and according to his likeness. It dawned on me that our job as human beings is to become more like God. You know, Jesus told us, be as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That we were spoken forth before the foundation of the world. At that point, we were a perfect spiritual being. We came into the world at the time God wanted us to come into the world as the person God wanted us to come in the world to be. And our job is to become that person. That's a holy journey. But a little thing called sin, well, it's not such a little thing. It's pretty big business when you think about it in our world. Distorted God's purposes. And therefore, it was necessary for God to reach back and come up with another plan, and that plan was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We were given the perfect human being as our example, and we, as Christians, are to become like him. Now an image is not exactly a real thing. It stands for something else. You know, it's a part of the word imagination, image. When you take a photograph, you have an image. But it's not the real thing. You're just capturing the picture there. When you look in a mirror, we really wish we weren't looking at the real thing. But the image in the mirror is not real, but it's a reflection of who we are. We're created in the image of God. But in our journey, are we moving from an image of who we're supposed to be to a likeness of who we are supposed to be? See, there's a difference in being an image of something and what we're really like. There's a whole industry that teaches image. We've got some Mary Kay people here, and image is very important when you're in the Mary Kay business. There's people who are selling, remake yourself, and remake your image to kind of sell yourself to the world. Our journey as Christians is about moving from image to being like Christ Jesus. Are you moving from image to likeness? Now, some of you have seen this before, but it was a year or so ago, so it's a chance to do that again. And if you'll pull down the screen, I've got some overheads. We're created in the image of God, and we used to think, well, then God looks like us. And in reality, the image in which we were created was our mental image. Imagine the big circle as our mind, and inside our mind are three persons, just as in the Godhead there are three persons: Father, Creator, Son, Redeemer, Holy Spirit, Sustainer. Next. St. Paul tells us that in each of us is the spiritual person, with natural reason. There's natural man who has a conscience that lets him know what's right and wrong. And there's carnal man, that's our fleshly desire or will. Johann Christian Heinroth, back in between 1773 and 1843, kind of used and pulled from St. Paul as one of the first psychiatrists, that in each of us is a spirit, a conscience, and what he called flesh, our natural part. And then later came along someone you've all heard about, Sigmund Freud. And you see, he came a lot later, but this is the guy that gets all of the credit for understanding our mind. And I just wanted you to know that Heinroth was a Christian who drew his from Scripture. Freud may have plagiarized him and had ego, superego, and id as the three parts of the mind. So we still have that Trinity thing going. And then in 1964, old Eric Byrne comes along and makes things simple and easy for all of us, so we don't have to learn all that psychological stuff, and said, inside every human mind, and this is how we're created in the image of God, there's a part of us that is a parent. And that's the part that reminds you, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you're supposed to do this, use your manners, follow the rules. That's kind of the inner parent guiding and directing us. There's the adult part of the mind, which is our reason, how we figure things out, how we decide to do what we do. And then there is the little child in all of us. And I don't care whether you're the age of the young infant that we had in here this morning, or you're 99 years old, there's a part of you that's still a little child. That part of yourself that just wants what you want when you want it, by golly. And that little child comes out and has temper tantrums and throws fits. We may be a little more sophisticated as adults, the way we do our temper tantrum and throw our fits. But these three parts of who God created us to be are just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, except sin doesn't have them working together all that well. The modern view calls those three parts reason, conscience, will. Next one. Going fast here. Now, prior to the 60s, we had this view in our intellectual world that the adult ought to be in control. Our reason ought to control everything. That's the way God created us to be. And that reasoning kind of overpowered everything. And sometimes it even overpowered what we were taught. It even overpowered our conscience that told us right and wrong. If we came up with a reason for something, we could forget what we were taught by our parents. We could forget about what the Word of God taught us. Because reason says it's okay. I was sharing with the Bible study groups last week that my friend Bill Glasser in my training taught that anything you do to avoid your responsibility is an excuse. Now, God gave me a pretty good mind, and I had some of the most reasonable reasons for not doing stuff. I used my mind, and I created it, and it was logical, and it was practical, and you could sell it to almost anybody. But you know, deep down in our conscience, if we know we're coming up with that plan to avoid the responsibility we ought to be taking, it's an excuse. It's an excuse. Just as flimsy as the dog ate my homework. It's an excuse. But it may sound more reasonable. And our world kind of gives credit to that. But you see, deep down inside, we might know that we're using excuses. Excuses about how we live our lives as Christians. Excuses about how we live in our relationships, in our family, how we treat one another. Well, if they're going to treat me this way, then I'm going to treat them that way. And we think we're using reason. And in reality, it may be more like the little child in us. But we were kind of taught growing up, once you became an adult, you just didn't deal with that child in you anymore. And, you know, I found a lot of people who are kind of pre-60 oriented, and, you know, I'm kind of that way. You know, a lot of me didn't know how to be a natural child and just enjoy the little child in me. We're supposed to be serious. We're supposed to be responsible. You know, back in those days, also, there was a pathology that might shift those circles around a little bit, and we call those persons neurotic, who were always hearing their inner parent telling them what they were supposed to do. They didn't listen to their reason. They listened to their inner parent, their conscience, which sometimes isn't a bad thing. But back in the 60s, we're saying, don't worry about your conscience. Don't worry about what you were taught. You're in control of your own life. Haven't we all heard that? But you see, we need to listen to what we've been taught. Of course, nowadays, I think society's changed where the child just kind of dominates everything. I mean, even in our child rearing, the child's the center of our lives. Parents give up everything to see the child gets everything. And that's no more balanced view than the other. God's calling us to move towards balance, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in a beautiful, balanced way. God wants us to have the peace, and He created us in His image to have the peace that the Holy Spirit brings, so our spirit, led by reason, works and is guided by our conscience that makes us like the Father, and our will is submitted to Almighty God. Then we have balance in our lives. We look the way God wants us to look. We become the people God wants us to be. And Jesus came into the world to live out that kind of life, to show us how we could get it all in control. We could get it in balance. We could move from just an image of what God wanted us to be like the person God wanted to be, because He sent us a perfect person into the world to teach us what that was like. A person who knew how to be led by the Spirit and reason. Let the Spirit work with reason, because the Spirit leads you to all truth and is reasonable, guided by the conscience and a will submitted to the Father. This is what God has called us to be. This is how we move from image to likeness. Now, do we have a battle on our hands? Yeah. Because all the time, those three parts of who we are fighting for control. And sometimes the conscience wins. Oftentimes we reason and justify things the way we want to justify them, to do the things we want. And sometimes we're like little children who stomp around and huff and puff and pout because we don't get our way. And boy, does that happen in the church. But you see, we're family. When we get together as a church, we're just like families. And we huff and puff and pout and stomp around at home, don't we? Well, some of us. And so when we get together as God's children here in the church, we do some of the same behaviors. But you see, our hope is that we get it together. We get it balanced. We make choices. We start listening to the voices, the way we were created, so we can get those in balance. And God has sent His Holy Spirit to help us with that very task. Help us move from just the image of God to the likeness of God as we become transformed day by day by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives? Are you moving from image to likeness? That's the Christian journey. That's the invitation. That's the challenge. And sometimes it is a battle. A very real, real battle. I was sharing in our covenant group in our study Tuesday morning when I found out Jane wasn't going to be able to go with me on my trip. I had to go through some of those stages and work through things. Part of me was being a little child. Part of it was reasoning out this and that and the reasons why and why not. She's moving to a new school, has been asked to be a lead teacher in math and go to training at the same time of my trip. And then I had to work through, well, then I'm going to spend all that money on just me. See, I felt a whole lot better about spending the money on us. And she wants me to go. But I had to work through those parts of who I am. I had to work through whether the Holy Spirit was guiding my reason or selfishness was guiding it. I had to see whether I was being a good child, submitting to the will of God, or a selfish, self-centered child that just kind of wanted my way. I'm going to have to work a whole lot harder if I don't have somebody to go with me and help. Of course, I was on the phone and told Julie Griffin that, and I'd shared with Jane that she said she wanted to go back. She said, get Julie to go with you. I said, boy, that would really create a stir in the life of the church. It's different when you take a long journey and a trip by yourself. You know, all the responsibility's on you. All the risk is on you. I had to work through a lot of things. I had to listen to those different parts of myself struggling with the issue. And every issue in our lives, those parts of who we are, because we're created in the image of God, even though it's a fallen image, influenced by sin, have to struggle with the issues. One of the things that can help you move from image to likeness is to realize this is the way God created you in three parts. This is the way God wants you to be. He wants those circles overlapping and supporting each other and balanced instead of all blown out of proportion. With God's help, we can do that. We can move from just an image of God to the very likeness of God through Christ Jesus, through the love and support of the Father, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Are you moving in your spiritual journey from image to likeness? I want to read a verse from Scripture. It's from 1 John, 3rd chapter, beginning with the first verse. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. But we do know this. When He is revealed, we will be like Him. For we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the resource we need to be transformed into that balanced image in our own minds. Be made ready for our association with Christ Jesus. We will be like Him. May you move from image to likeness. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, you have created us in your holy image. We're so unworthy to even think of ourselves that way, and yet you've done it. And we fail you every day because we don't keep these parts of ourselves very well balanced. We don't often listen to your word and to your conscience. We don't always submit to the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We want to be like selfish, self-centered, spoiled little kids, insisting on our will and our way rather than your will and the way that was shown to us by Christ Jesus. Help us to move from image to the likeness of our Lord. We know you're going to accomplish this. You've already promised it. May we benefit from this gift in this life, that we may enjoy your presence forever. Amen.